priest was giving a homily on this very same gospel passage where Jesus teaches us that we are to love our enemies. And he began this way. He said, I think all of us, most of us, many of us feel like we have enemies in our lives. And he said, I'm just going to take a little informal survey. How many of you feel like you've got many enemies in your life? And to his surprise, a pretty large group of the congregation raised up their hands. And he said, okay, put your hands out. How many of you feel like maybe you've got a few enemies in your life? And then another crowd put their hands up and raised their hands. And he said, okay, how many of you feel like you've just got one or two enemies in your life? And then again, another group raised up their hand. And he said, okay, see, all of us, many of us, most of us feel like we maybe have some enemies in our lives. He said, but any of you feel like you don't have any enemies in your life? And he looked around and kind of waited, and people sort of shuffled and kind of looked down at their bulletins. Finally, at the back of the church, a little old man put up his hand, raised up his hand, and he stood up and he said, I don't have any enemies in my life. And the pastor was so excited, he said, please come forward. And the man come up to do a little impromptu interview. He said, now tell us, sir, how old are you? He said, I am 98 years old and I don't have any enemies. And the pastor just beamed. He said, see, this is a man who has lived out the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ that you shall love your enemies. Tell us, how is it that you have lived about 98 years old and you don't have any enemies? And the little man looked up at the pastor. He said, I'm 98 years old. All the rascals have gone and died. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your enemy and love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Now, we've just been dropped down right into the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, that great teaching of Jesus, the great teaching of Jesus in Matthew's Gospel. And in this little section, Jesus is trying to explain to his followers, look, you all have got to be better than the world. And not just better than the rascals and the scoundrels, but I mean better even than the religious people of your day. When Jesus says, he said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now, he's not quoting from the Bible. That doesn't come out of the Bible. Jesus most likely is quoting one of the rabbis of the day who have given a teaching to say, you have to love your, you have to love your fellow Jew. But as for your enemies, you shall hate them. Jesus is saying, look, you've heard it said that the religious people of our day, they tell you this, but I say, no, you, my followers, sons and daughters of the kingdom, you must be better than that. You shall love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons, daughters of your Father who is in heaven. Now, let's just break this down for a minute. I mean, what makes a person an enemy? What makes an enemy an enemy is it's a person who either has done something to harm you, or who wants to do something to harm you, or maybe is a member of a tribe that wants to do something to harm you. And here Jesus is saying, love your enemies. How in the world are we supposed to make sense of this? Now, I think we should take a step back and realize, I think that maybe most of us here tonight, I mean, I don't know all of your stories, so I don't know for sure, but I think most of us probably have not had to wrestle with this passage in the same way that Bishop Abraham, who is coming this Sunday, has had to wrestle with this passage. I mean, he's had real enemies, like who carry guns, who run after his people. Imagine how he's had to wrestle with this passage. But, having said that, all of us have certainly had times in our lives where we've been angry at someone, where someone has hurt us, harmed us, maybe in real ways. Maybe some of us have experienced pain. Maybe some have come tonight feeling angry or holding a resentment or nursing a grudge. I mean, I know sometimes dealing with people and hearing their story, and maybe I perhaps could find examples of my own life looking back. I know people who've been angry at someone who's been dead and gone for 20 years, even, have carried the anger of that. So how do we make sense of this? Much less, how do we live into this? Love your enemies. How? Well, first of all, the only way to make sense of this teaching is by the gospel. That's the only way you're going to make any sense of it. What do I mean? The reason Jesus says, love your enemies, is because while you and I were rebels against God, while you and I were enemies of God, wonder of wonders, he sent his Son to save us. Now, I know you and I, we're not used to thinking of ourselves as enemies of God. You say, I'm not an enemy. What are you talking about? Enemies of God. But, beloved, it's true. Every time we gossip or tell a lie or cut someone down by wicked talk or give in to laziness or fail to do the right thing, all of those sorts, we are enemies of God. We're enemies of God. And yet, he reached out in love for us. He paid the price for our rebellion. Now you want to talk about crazy? That's crazy. Every year on Good Friday, we read the same passage, the gospel. It's always the gospel according to John on Good Friday. And it's that passage in John where we read about the arrest, trial, and crucifixion of Jesus. Every Good Friday, each and every Good Friday, we read that same passage. Why? Why? We read it to be a reminder to us that even though we weren't there 2,000 years ago, even though we weren't there physically present, every time you or I fails to love God, every time you or I fails to love the people around us, be they a neighbor, a friend, or even an enemy, we put ourselves into that crowd there on Good Friday who cried out, crucify him. That's why we read that each and every Good Friday. Beloved, we are the enemies of Jesus, and yet, wonder of wonders, he loved us enough to save us. And when we have been saved by Jesus, he commissions us to be ambassadors to go out into the world to share that love. Just as he loved us. And not just any love, but a love for our enemies. Now, that's the love that God has for us. And so it's the love that he commands us to give to the world. Now, that's the why. That's the why Jesus says, love your enemies. Because while we were enemies of God, God loved us. That's the why. But now the how. How on earth are we supposed to do that? Because again, what makes an enemy is someone who's hurt us, who's harmed us. What do you want to do with someone who's hurt or harmed you? You know, you want to, right? That's what anger is all about. Kind of get your body ready to retaliate, right? Now, let me be clear, beloved. Loving our enemies doesn't mean that we're always going to end up in a relationship with them. It doesn't always mean that Jesus brings reconciliation. Sometimes he does. But we can't control our enemies. Okay, we can't make them love us. But what we can do is invite Jesus into here. We may not have any control over our enemies, but we can invite Jesus into our hearts to pour his love into our hearts so that we can pour that back out to those around us, including our enemies, so that we can reach out in love and do good even for our enemies. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. See, beloved, Jesus wants to come in here and to take that anger and to replace it with love. The question for us is, are we willing to let him in to do that? Now, that process isn't always easy. That process may take some time. But the question is, are we willing to let him come in? Take that anger, set us free from that anger and the resentment and the bitterness that weighs us down, and replace it with his love. It's not possible in human terms. We can't do this, but he can. His Holy Spirit can do it. Beloved, do you come here tonight with any anger or resentment in your heart? Do you come here tonight maybe having held back as an ambassador of love, maybe not taking that love out as you have been called by your Lord to do? Here on the eve of the 4th of July, God gave us this great nation. He gave us freedom for one reason, that we would be free not to serve ourselves, but free to be ambassadors of that love, free to take that love of Jesus out into the world, yes, even to our enemies. Beloved, do not leave this place without inviting Jesus in to bring healing and to replace that anger and resentment with his love. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we hear your call to love in a, Lord, in a scary and profound way. Jesus, we can't do this. We don't know how to do it. But you do. So we open our hearts to you this night. And Father, I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit. If there is anyone here tonight who maybe has experienced some anger or hurt or resentment for true wrongs that have been done against them, I pray, Lord Christ, that you would release them. And even tonight, you would begin that process of exchanging that anger and that hurt for your love. Jesus, even when we were your enemies, even when we cried out for your crucifixion, you loved us. Thank you. Pour that love into our hearts, Lord Christ, that we can give it away. For we ask this in your precious and powerful name. Amen.